So last week we started reading together the Gospel of Mark, one of the first books in the Bible that put down in writing the story of the life of Jesus. So one of our spiritual practice here at Grandview is biblical reflection and prayer. These are our primary practices that we do together as we gather on Sundays. And I encourage you as well in this sermon series to challenge yourself to take out the Bible in the week and read through the whole book of Mark, maybe with your family, maybe with a small group, or just on your own. Read the entire book. It's about 16 chapters, probably take you about 45 minutes, maybe an hour to read. And it would give you the long perspective that we are after. You will notice and understand things in a different way if you read it in one extended story rather than in small bits as we usually read here on Sundays. So we're planning to read whole chapters together as we go along. I'm easing us in by reading chapter one in two different Sundays rather than one. This is a long and close look of the Gospel of Mark, and these reading the long chapters is the long look to get perspective, to give us context, to get a lot of content in, and to just give us an overall narrative storyline. The close look is each sermon will hone in on a few verses to respond with prayer and other action. So let's pick up from last week. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee after John the Baptist's arrest. He gathers a community of two sets of brothers, and we are primed. That's Jesus is on about bringing good news of God that involves turning from the old order into something new. So we pick up today in the fishing village of Capernaum, and it was the Sabbath day. So we note that the author mentions Sabbath as the beginning day of Jesus' ministry. To mention Jesus working on a Sabbath is intentional and deliberate by this author. The Sabbath was a day that was an essential distinguishing marker to set the Jews apart from their Roman oppressors. It was a day of rest and worship, and there were a lot of laws about what you could or could not do on the Sabbath day. So there's a reason that the author chose to write about the beginning work of Jesus' ministry on a Sabbath, because it's the beginning of conflict. It was the beginning of the biggest conflict that Jesus had with the religious leaders of his day. On the Sabbath, Jesus goes into the synagogue and starts teaching like a religious leader, even though he grew up in a tradesperson, carpenter family. Jesus starts teaching. People wake up to his teaching and notice his teaching has authority, unlike the religious leaders of his day. Authority meaning divine power. Jesus taught with divine power. We also note that he was teaching in the synagogue. It didn't happen on the road. It didn't happen in the Roman palace. It was in a Jewish synagogue that Jesus encounters an unclean or evil spirit. And I'm not going to wonder about demon possession right now with you. Right now, the main point is that Jesus demonstrates power in the spiritual realm in the synagogue. Perhaps this is symbolic. Perhaps this is foreshadowing of the cleansing of the temple teaching. Jesus teaches in the synagogue using spiritual power over something that's not offering goodness for this man who's possessed with this demon. We see him screaming and in convulsions. After that, Jesus goes to one of his disciples' homes. He offers healing to an in-law. Some people would say that's ultimate compassion. And after the Sabbath is over at sunset, Jesus has attracted a large crowd, and so he starts healing sickness and releases the oppression of evil that people are battling against. We see Jesus becoming instantly sought after. Whole towns are noted to come to Jesus. His disciples, perhaps not exaggerating, say to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And in the middle of this, Jesus takes time out to pray. Jesus goes to be alone, to connect with God, his divine power. This is the rhythm. This is the pattern that chapter 1 sets up about Jesus' ministry. We see Jesus on the move. He goes from town to town. He teaches in synagogues. He meets the needs of the people with healing and with healing of oppressive evil and healing of sickness and disease. And he prays in solitude. He goes off to pray in solitude. This is the pattern and rhythm of Jesus' ministry. This is the long look. And now we get to the close look. I'm going to read again verse 40. And 41. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched this man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging him to be healed. Now, leprosy doesn't mean much for us in the 21st century North America. We don't see it. We don't think about it. So let's try to understand this dire situation that this man was in. At this time, a man with leprosy would be completely cut off. He'd be cut off from his family. He'd be cut off from society. And he wouldn't be able to work to support his family or himself. He would be cut off as well from his religious community. He was labeled unclean by the religious priests and not allowed in places of worship. A man with leprosy could not come to the synagogue to meet Jesus. He could not come to a home to meet Jesus. He lived with utmost and pervasive poverty. He was outcast. Lepers were, and they represent in our story, those who are excluded from access to community, to connection, to flourishing in life. And interesting words that this man with leprosy says to Jesus: "If you are willing, you can make me clean." First of all, he knows that people have a choice to either include or exclude. He asks if Jesus is willing to include him, in contrast to religious leaders who have excluded him. Secondly, he asked to be made clean, to emphasize that his exclusion was based on a religious law that called him unclean. It was not only illness that caused his suffering, but it was that he was ostracized by his spiritual community. Let's move in a little bit closer to verse 41. There's some really important phrases here. And it's very interesting, this NIV translates this word here in verse 41, Jesus was indignant. In other translations we read, Jesus was moved with compassion. In a moment, I'm going to talk about that word, indignant. But first, let's use that phrase, Jesus was moved with compassion. This is the motivation and heart of Jesus for healing in a suffering world. Jesus responds in his earthly ministry when he sees pain, when he sees suffering, when he sees exclusion. His immediate response is compassion. And this Greek word that is translated here, I quote, means this: a profound, intense, emotional response that viscerally propels one feeling compassion into action on behalf of others. So Jesus' compassion is this word is used over and over again in the Gospels that's connected to his healing. Jesus moves with compassion. That's his motive. It's his emotion. It's his compelling action to heal. Later on, after the service, if you join us for the potluck, you will meet Pastor Jennifer Friesen from Kits Church, a church that's about 20 minutes away from us, who I have a deep admiration for. She will read her response, the letter of response to the CBWC board for us. And I want to highlight the beginning of her letter here. She says in her letter that she was once told by her supervised ministry group in graduate school that sometimes Jennifer allows compassion to compromise her theology. She responds with, "My compassion is my theology. My compassion is my theology." This is following after Jesus. Jesus allows compassion to take over his mind and heart and body. And as we notice further, he's moved so much that Jesus reached out and he touched this man. Jesus touched this man with leprosy. I love that picture that Sam found for us here. Oh, good. You can see that. Embrace this man of leprosy. Not only is Jesus breaking out of social norms, feelings of unease and disgust, leprosy is not pretty, but by touching this man, Jesus becomes religiously unclean. He becomes unclean himself, not allowed in the same place as this man is not allowed in. Jesus touches this man and says, "I am willing. Be healed." Jesus says, "I am willing to use my power here for good. I'm willing to become unclean like you. I'm willing to break the religious and social regulations because there's a higher purpose here, which is the good news of God, proclaiming good news for the excluded and for the least. Be healed." Jesus' words have divine power. He speaks with authority and he heals, not like the religious leaders of his day. I wonder if you know this Jesus of compassion. I wonder if you've experienced in your life this Jesus who moves toward and touches suffering. And I wonder if you have experienced in your life this Jesus who moves toward and touches your suffering. Our Jesus of compassion. And I want to go even closer now to Jesus and explain that word, indignant. We remember that the Bible and the Gospel of Mark have many different, they were preserved through hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts. And some of these reliable manuscripts, even a few of them, use this other translation of this word, moved with compassion. They rather say the word is indignant or moved with anger. Anger not at this man, because Jesus was stressed at all the people coming to him, but angry at the religious system that excluded this man and told him he was unclean. If we continue on in verse 43, we read, Jesus gave this man a stern warning, which in Greek, this word literally means Jesus snorted with indignation. Jesus snorted with indignation at the religious system that demonizes and excludes and excommunicates and calls people unclean. After Jesus touched this man with leprosy and said, "I'm willing, be healed," Jesus said to this man, "Go to the religious leaders and show that you have been healed," to demonstrate healing does not come by laws and codes, but by touching so-called unclean people with deep compassion and anger against exclusion, with the authority that comes from God, our great healer, and our great welcomer. Jesus is demonstrating who God is here, that the religious scribes have got it wrong. They are not representing a compassionate, connecting, healing God who longs for human beings to thrive and flourish in family, in society, and especially in spiritual communities. Now, each Sunday this September, we are focusing on one of our grand view spiritual values, or I like to say spiritual practices, each week. And this week, I want to name welcome. Welcome is a healing practice. Welcome is a practice of justice. This is a spiritual practice we are trying to do better here at Grandview. And part of this involves welcoming, truly welcoming the flourishing and connection of a people group that have been traditionally excluded from society, but especially from the church. We at Grandview have regrets from our past. We want to be part of the way of repairing the way that the Big C Church and the way that Grandview in particular has excluded LGBTQ+ people in the past. We want to be a sanctuary here, a place of flourishing and belonging for everyone who seeks a relationship with Jesus. This is why we have made our motions about inclusion. This is why we have made our motions about accepting same-sex marriage and ordination. We want to remove barriers and religious laws that label people unclean, that have been held by the church to exclude LGBTQ+ kin. We are going to talk about that today a little bit more in our potluck with Kits Church after the service. So for our prayer for this week, for a one-line prayer to bring with you into the week every day, I wonder about those words that Jesus spoke to this man, "I am willing." In contrast to the religious leaders of the day who were not willing to give welcome to this man with leprosy, Jesus was willing. What grace do we need to be able to say these words of welcome and healing with Jesus? I am willing. I'm willing to use the power I have to offer welcome and healing to someone who's outcast. It's a choice we have. What about going so far as to getting so close to someone that you are considered as unclean as they are? An action of becoming one who is with someone who is normally excluded. What would Jesus touch? What would Jesus' action look like today? Now, I want to be clear, I don't want to equate leprosy with being queer. Queerness is not an illness like leprosy, but the way this man was treated is like how the LGBTQ+ community has been treated by the church in the past and today still. For you, there may be another outcast group that is harder for you to welcome than others. What is the grace that you need to pray, "I am willing"? This is a prayer of surrender to allow Jesus' compassion to overtake you. I am willing to be moved deeply with compassion, to be moved with anger against systems that don't embody the goodness and grace of God, to be willing to allow Jesus' welcome and Jesus' healing to flow through us. Now, for some of you, the way to begin to pray, "I am willing," is to open up for Jesus' compassion for yourself. You know, I wonder what it would be like for you to pray every day, "I am willing," to open myself for your compassion, Jesus, for myself. Oh, I wonder what it would be like for you to pray, "I am willing," and see who God puts in your path to welcome each day this week, to be overcome with compassion, to move in acts of solidarity with those who are outcasts. This is our invitation, if we are willing. I pray for the grace to be willing. Let's pray together now. Our God of deep compassion, fill us with you, fill us with your Spirit for ourselves and for those who are outcast around us. We pray for the grace to open ourselves to you, Jesus. We pray for the grace to be able to say each day, I am willing. Amen.